What's up, Harmontown? From beautiful uptown Burbank, Harmontown is now in session. Let's bring up the man, the game master, Spencer Crittenden, everybody. And the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Yo. 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 My beats are cold. My mama is old. Still went to bed with her yesterday. Yo. I fucked her. What am I? I don't even... Kind of lost already. Fucking my own mom.
Your heart's not even in it.
Yeah.
I thought I misheard you, but yeah, you were fucking your own mom.
If you could fuck anybody's mom, like think of throughout history, whose mom would you fuck?
All right.
Yours.
Yo. Ben Franklin's mom was out on the lawn when he was flying his kite. But I brought her indoors. I said, who needs electricity when we're fucking? I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really.
What if you could get fucked by anybody's mom? Like, let's say the mom was doing the fucking on you.
Like, famous moms?
Yeah,
like,
a famous mom just chose you. You're the target.
Yo, Mrs. Whistler, why are you fucking me so hard? It's only one famous mother ever. All right, let's cut it. We're not gonna. The only thing worse than a low energy show is a forced resistance to a low energy show with a terrible rap.
I can't believe you only think there's only one famous mother.
Name another famous mother.
Mrs. Doubtfire. The original.
Mrs. C from Happy Days.
All right.
Start the beat again, and let's say you're getting fucked by Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days, or you're fucking anybody in Happy Days. Hit the beat. Dan, don't fight me on this. Yeah, you're feeling this.
Mrs. Cunningham. I'm Mrs. Cunningham. Cunningham. Say it again. Spell it one more time. Mrs. Cunningham. Cunningham. Mrs. Cunningham. I make a stunning ham for Thanksgiving and make more than that. I'm always in the kitchen with a clit the size of a bat. It might be a penis. I might have a dick. When we're getting to that size, and I don't know why I'm.
Are you saying that Marion Ross has a clit the size of a bat?
No, it's the character.
Or the character, Mrs. Cunningham.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we've had enough.
Like that.
Thank you.
It's not, no, we've had enough.
The rap's not getting better as the suggestions get harder.
It kind of was.
All right, now do it.
No, I'm not saying we should continue, but that was great.
That was inflammatory.
It got bad. It got problematic. So I don't. When I'm at this energy level, we don't want to force me to do tricks because then I'm going to end up like I'll say the N word before the night's over.
What is the point?
I'm so tired. I don't have any resistance.
The whole point of the genre. Is to break boundaries.
I know,
and to be inflammatory.
But it's not. No. That's what you said before I played the Chevy Chase voicemail, and that didn't help anyone.
Before I played the Chevy Chase voicemail is, Dan, do you want to play it off my phone because I can plug it in over here?
Mm-hmm.
You guys didn't have plugs back then. Come on.
So anyways,
okay.
I mean, there's nothing to get to. There's no show to do. I was thinking we might play D&D for like 2 hours tonight.
Let's do it.
I'm just not feeling, you know, part of it is the video game brain. Like I was playing, I've been having a good time at home. I played video games. I played Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that one.
So good, man. It's really fun.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of, what was the name? You're probably too young even to remember. There was a game that was, I think it was Dark Forces.
Where you're like a dude that's like a Jedi. You're not Luke Skywalker, but you're just like this dude that's a Jedi. And there's like, say what?
Kyle Katarn. That's the character.
Oh, Kyle Katarn is the name of the dude.
Is it Force Rising?
Yeah, and it was like one of my first PC games, and it was like on a CD-ROM, and it had like all this shitty video footage of like, you know, actors that were probably getting like $300 to be covered in prosthetics against green screens and like come out, and like the cutscenes were all video.
That was a special era in gaming.
But it was a really good game because it was like, I think that was like the first time you ever got to like, in a first-person shooter from Lucasfilm, you were like using a lightsaber and you're like leveling up these force powers. So this game is not the focus isn't on that. Or as I only played like the first third of it or something. Like, but you're like this woman who's a special forces stormtrooper. It's really cool. It's just the gameplay is like a really nice balance of like you can just dick around and like jump and fucking shoot and like. It just splits the perfect difference between like games where like Wolfenstein 2, like I'm 44, so I just opened Wolfenstein 2 and I was like, I played a couple levels and I'm like, this is cool, but I'm never going to enjoy this game because it's just going to be like running and gunning and I'm never going to be good and I'm always going to be bummed out and anxious. But, and then there's on the other side of the spectrum, there's like games that are so role play that you're just like walking around having conversations with people and you kind of get bored. But like right in the middle there, it's really nice, really good gameplay. You just like, I like those shooters where like you touch the left trigger and it, if you're close enough to the person's head, it like zooms in on their head, and then you shoot them in the head. This probably isn't an appropriate time in our nation's history to be.
No, it's great.
But
then what'd you do?
I mean, what I should probably wait 6 days and play the market and hope that we're 7 days from a mass shooting.
Yeah, no shootings will happen.
But anyways, it's a really
especially
good game. Star Battlefront 2. I recommend it.
What platform is it on?
I'm playing it on my Xbox. I don't know what it's all on. And then another game that I stayed up all night playing that. And then a game that I played all day today was Portal Knights. Have you heard of Portal Knights?
No.
It's like somebody looked at Minecraft and thought, this isn't
portals.
This isn't comfy enough. Like it's like a very like polished like adventure-y RPG kind of Minecraft thing.
Oh yeah, okay, that's cool.
I got sucked in pretty hard. And so because I had a good time playing video games today, it does something to your brain. Like it fucks up your alpha waves or something. Like you never play video games like that, but
Jeff hates that.
Well, I mean, the only games I really liked was the first-person shooter, like historical ones, like Call of Duties and Medal of Honors and stuff.
You'd love Battlefront.
Battlefront?
Yeah.
You probably would like Battlefront. Here's the thing that's
the
great about the
Star Wars
games when they're done right. There's a bunch of shitty ones because there's a bunch of Lucasfilm games, but the really good ones, it's so cool. Just having the John Williams score playing while you're playing a shooter, and especially if it's like a good enough game that it like kind of
comes in and out.
Well, it uses the music to like so you know like when you aggro a stormtrooper, it's like turns into a little and then like you finish shooting all the stormtroopers in the area, and it kind of just like very gracefully goes into this like more wistful.
You know, I've been playing chess with friends.
Oh, I've been seeing some of your moves.
Chess with friends?
Not, yeah, like, it's virtually. Like it's like words with friends, but it's chess.
Chess, yeah.
And I was at the drawing room, and a cat comes up to me, and he goes, he saw me sitting there playing chess with somebody else, like on my phone. And he's a Harmontown fan. His name escapes me. His name is like online something like Cap Slapper, or Slappy Clappy.
Slapping Cap.
And I'm gonna beat that motherfucker.
I was playing that for a little bit, but it just takes so long. It's like chess by mail.
Well, yeah, it depends on who you're playing. Some people play really fast, you know. But like, I don't want to have to play like speed chess with somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I would need it to be a zero sum speed chess. Even if I could remember how all the horses move, like which I can't. I would have to have it be speed chess, and I would always lose. But I would at least need the excuse to, like, make a move.
Right.
Because my understanding of chess is, like, well, theoretically, you could sit there forever. Like, so why wouldn't you? Like, I chess freaks me out.
Well, the people I play attend, like, a few of the people I play are from the drawing room, and so I can tell when somebody's drunk when they're playing me because they make a bullshit move. And they also know when I'm drunk and I've made a bullshit move. And sometimes I go, I want to win this one. I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to play them in the morning. And it's improving my brain.
Damn. I've never made a note of anything at all. My contentment, and also my kind of like, you know, it's part contentment and part like, I just don't like the world anymore. I don't trust people. I don't have faith in humanity anymore. So I kind of just, let's see if I did bother to write anything down throughout the week. I can feel the subscriptions dropping, which is fine. That's democracy.
When you said Mrs. C's clit was the size of a bat, were you talking about baseball bat like Louisville Slugger, or were you talking about like a fruit,
vampire bat?
A fruit bat?
Yeah. No. Okay. I meant a stick, a big long stick.
Okay. That's pretty big.
Let's say you were on a date with Mrs. Cunningham, and you lifted up her skirt, and you saw her clit. Would you rather it be the size of a baseball bat, or did you want her to look exactly like a vampire bat?
I don't want, I mean, I don't know if this is going to go over well. I'm giving you a choice. If you're a woman listener, a subscriber, and you have an enlarged clitoris, I don't want you to, I'm not, you should feel good about yourself. I have all kinds of things about my body that you can take or leave, but you're asking me the question. I don't want a clitoris that's bigger than my penis on a woman. That's silly.
So would you be
that
more comfortable?
Basically is a penis.
What if her clitoris looked like a bat? Like a fruit bat or a vampire bat. Like looked like a Batman.
No, I mean that would be crazy. That would be distracting and crazy.
Right.
I mean, you know
I'm giving you the choice. I'm saying you got
to. I know you're trying to help the show, but
I'm trying to ask a journalistic question, Dan, that I think a lot of people want to know the answer to. What does Dan Harmon feel about baseball bat clits or fruit bat clits?
The same way on both counts. Just, you know what? As politically unfashionable as it is right now, I'll just go ahead and say it because I'm being asked the question. Anomalous clitoris. all right, give me a beat. Yo.
Zach put it. I got high hopes for this one.
Yo. Yo. Right about now. It's time for Anomalous Clitoris. Bring him to the stage. Hello. Hello. I'm Anomalous Clitoris. I'm here to say I'm making a big scene today. I'm a new kind of rapper that you've never seen. Anomalous Clitoris is not where you've been. And if you don't like things that are new, then you need to step aside, because the world's getting smaller and the clitoris is getting wide. Anomalous a clitoris, it's not the clitoris that you can predict, but that's why the price of this is... Thank you. I just felt like Anomalous Clitoris is a good 2018 rap name.
I still can't find Balderdash cards. I was looking for weeks.
You know, if you did want rap to be good, there's a person in the empty warehouse that's just visiting who you played their rap a couple of episodes ago.
Are you talking about Rob Tangem?
He did the Fuck Your Mama rap that was like, that we kind of applauded.
Yeah, it's a big hit.
And he came out and he visited, and I don't want to spoil too much, but we laid down some tracks with him. We don't know what we're doing.
Can we say what those tracks are? Should we keep those a secret?
Yeah, and I mean, to keep them a secret makes it seem like it's so important. I just would say, what?
Well, I don't think it blows it to say that he felt the need or the compulsion to write a Pringles dick rap.
There's a, yeah, well, he's kind of he's a really good rap writer.
And he wrote a giraffe rap that knocks my socks off.
And it was on assignment, which, you know, I don't respond well to people going like, well, why don't you make it about this? And like, oh, okay. But he was in town and I was doing a different thing through Starburns. We're going to be putting out like a little tape. That's a tease. I'll tease it that much. But like, and so I had said to Mr. Tantrum, who's visiting, you know, if you did have any kind of lyrical thoughts about giraffes, love them, hate them, maybe you are a giraffe and you're like, we could maybe slide you into this other stupid thing that I'm doing. What I'm doing is not that brilliant. It's just for fans of the podcast. It might be a little treat.
Should we bring him up?
Let's bring Rob Tantrum up.
Oh yeah. Rob Tantrum to the stage, please.
Oh yeah.
It's been a long day and I've been taking the wrong way.
Everybody, meet Rob. Hello, Rob. How are you, brother? Have a seat.
So, like a consummate rapper, Dan, you've developed a crew that you now roll with, and he's in it, right? Is that correct?
I guess
he's part of your crew. You're rolling deep.
Would you say you have a posse now, or no?
I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't know that what I do is really, you know, I'm kind of a performance artist still. I think like I haven't taken pen to paper ever. I mean, Rob went back to where he's staying. I wanted to say hotel, but that's factually inaccurate. You're staying with
I'm
a friend,
with friend, but yeah.
But if I, but it like, it, like that's the time frame. Like he, on day one of his visit, I was like, well, why don't you, if you want to write like a giraffe verse, maybe we can record that tomorrow because we'll both be in the studio. And then he went home and then he came back and he had all kinds of shit, including this, and we did record it, but I thought it would be, since we have the beat, do we have the beat? If you're prepared to,
yeah, are you prepared to
rap it? Since, why not offset my particularly bad evening for me, freestyle-wise, with, look, if good rap is what you want,
see,
or...
I think you're being too hard on yourself, Dan. I think because we don't have the live audience here, you don't get that feedback from...
I think the people right now are shouting at their laptops. That's not true. Rapping has been without
recently.
An audience. Yeah.
But this wasn't it.
No, it's just...
It's certainly not the heights.
It's just bio... It's video games, I think, fry the part of your brain that you use to rap. Kids, I'm not a doctor.
I don't play video games. So
don't play video games.
That's your secret. That's your secret.
But you also don't really freestyle. I mean, we don't.
No, I practiced earlier in case you know there was a need to freestyle. I wanted to like exercise that muscle beforehand because we never got to.
Well, let's do that then.
Well,
let's do it.
We talked about trading fours.
No,
because we were in we were in the booth at the same time. We did an improv, but we never freestyled together.
Right.
So I was just ready for it. I don't want to, you know.
I think that I'd like the kids to hear your giraffe rap. I think
Would you do the same hype Manning that you did?
Zach, you got that beat?
No, okay, I'm not going to because I don't want to step on it. I just want people to listen and you don't worry about performance. Like just eat the mic and make sure they hear your delicious lyrics that you wrote overnight, having been assigned the task of writing about giraffes.
Yeah, because Dan has a long, weird relationship with, I would say love-hate, but just hate on giraffes.
No, I hate giraffes.
You hate giraffes. Yeah.
Okay. And I adopted that for this one. Because there's an existent track of you doing
a giraffe rap.
Giraffe rap. Well, yeah. I don't want to ruin your giraffe rap. Eating a leaf.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, reaching real high to get up to my tree.
You can listen to it in the archives.
Yeah, and it's pretty. It's actually one of the more awkward freestyles I've ever done because I rhymed Darwin with Hardwin.
That's great.
Which is very funny.
And you could have said Harmon.
Harmon. Yeah.
I could have said Harmon.
Yeah.
You could have said.
Did you just shit your pants?
No, I just I committed to not finishing the sentence.
All right. Well, let's just at you when you feel ready.
Now, how about this? Can I make a picture? Because you're gonna do your rap.
Sure.
Yeah. When it's done. Like when your rap is through, Dan, why don't you go into some extemporaneous freestyle?
Well,
giraffe?
I'll tell you the answer is because obviously, as we've established, I'm not really on my game tonight.
Well,
so
it's not. I'm not saying that if you do a bad job, the show's
okay,
going to
but
end.
Let's
I'm
just
giving you an opportunity.
Let's just do the thing we said we were going to do.
Well, let's simplify it instead, Data. You can rap about clitorises.
Okay. Yes, in a Russian accent. Okay.
Yes.
It's going to be great. As long as we just keep pimping me, it'll become a great show. I will become talented. I will become enthusiastic. My brain chemistry will completely change if we just keep making me do stuff.
I agree.
Let's. When you're ready,
I'm good.
You cue him, and then let's listen to this.
Yo. And then in the track, there's a lot of Rob Tantrum, which is very exciting for me. Okay.
DJ Khaled.
Giraffe rap. Rapping giraffe facts. Interested in info on giraffes? Well, I have that. Fuck what you heard. Giraffes are the worst. Hopefully one day they will be purged from the earth. No one's ever seen a giraffe go swimming. That's a legitimate giraffe fact, no kidding. If you drew a bath, the giraffe won't get in it. Bunch of tall assholes don't know what they're missing. Spend a whole goddamn day eating leaves. 80 pounds worth to fulfill the dietary needs. No time for hobbies, no skis or trapeze. No leisurely evenings, no reason to be. Barely even sleep. 10-minute intervals, standing straight up. Straight up imbeciles. Only vertebrate species that can't yawn. When they're all gone, I'ma feel invincible. Drink water once every few days. Learning draft facts fills my veins with rage. They're not like me. I don't like that. Drafts aren't human. Drafts can't write raps. Drafts make no sound. Not because they can't, but because they choose not to. What? That's a fact I found. Fuck a smug herbivores. If I could, I would fight you. Fuck giraffes.
All right. Thank you.
Big clitorises.
Anomalous clitoris taking over. If you see a horse with a very long neck, anomalous clitoris is now on deck. I'm a zookeeper of science. I drop it mad, and I don't know why. It's so hard to have a clit this big.
Yep.
Check out my rig. It's an 18-wheel truck. Uh-huh. Anomalous clitoris is hard to fuck. You don't know where to put your wiener when the clitoris is far less leaner. Just, can we stop?
I was just making the
it's
joke.
It's just not the right time in our nation's history. It's not the right time.
You really ran with it more than I expected. I mean, you're a real sport, and that should be commended.
But, yeah. Wait, sorry, how about
are you
lyrics?
Saying that it's a real giraffe fact that giraffes can make sounds, but they choose
this
not to?
This was the phrasing of it. Giraffes don't make sounds. I did a Google, perusing. But giraffes don't make sounds, not because they can't, but because they choose not to.
But is it true?
Which is infuriating.
But they have the capacity to make, they have vocal
right.
cords, they could make a sound?
I guess, according to like Discovery Kids or Discovery Adults or whatever fact
I go to Discovery Kids for all of my facts.
Mm-hmm.
so they have the capacity to go like, they could make a noise.
Sure.
But they're like, why? I'm a fucking giraffe.
Yeah. What am I going to do? Say, hey, there's some leaves over here?
Right, they have no reason to make any noise because they have to, because they require... I rounded up to 80 for the lyric, but it was 75 or over pounds of food a day. And because they're eating drafts, they have to... they're eating leaves, and they're drafts, they have to spend all day eating. So there's nothing else... They don't have a reason.
They can't be wasting those calories on talking shit. They got to eat those leaves.
I've never asked myself this question. Like, giraffes, I'm assuming they're, like, in the same biomes that, I'm assuming their predators are, like, big cats, like your pumas
lions
and your jaguars.
No, but people only fuck with the young giraffes because, like, the big giraffes will just kung fu you.
Well, that's
right.
They
kick.
They'll kick the fuck out of you.
But do you know that?
There's videos where they kick. I've seen videos of them kicking predators.
Like, so if a tiger sees a giraffe or a lion, they'll go like,
they won't fuck with a full-grown giraffe. Even a pack of them, the giraffe will outrun them. And if you
outrun them?
No, they're fast.
They're fast as shit.
Yep.
And if they kick you, you're done. They're like, they'll break your jaw. You can't eat anymore. You're a dead tiger or a dead lion, rather.
Yeah.
If they fucking give you one karate chop with one of their hoofs, you've dislocated something and you can't operate anymore. So the big cats know not to fuck with the full grown giraffe.
Well, now we know why they don't choose to make sounds. I mean, they're like the Winston Churchills of their body's made of big sticks.
Right.
Well, if the body was made of big sticks,
they would speak even more than softly.
Or would they be allowed to speak more softly because they're just one?
They're always carrying
four giant sticks. Have you seen them fight?
The rest of the Churchill quote, it says, "Speak softly, carry a big stick," and then it's dot dot dot. And if your body's made of giant sticks, don't speak at all.
Have you seen them fucking fight each other? They just go like
they wank.
It's called necking.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
They club each other.
And Churchill, I think you pointed out to me that they have the same amount of vertebrae.
They have they have seven vertebrae. They're just
in their neck,
humans.
But they're as big as
they're just long, long ass vertebrae. Yeah. They're like extra vertebrae. If Schraub was here, he'd launch a whole comic book.
Extra vertebrae. It's a giraffe with eight vertebrae in his neck and like dies.
Not to remove the joy from my hatred of giraffes, which is just, you know, like it's because it's. Obviously, it's like that's the thing that we learn about in evolution is like that's an illustration of Darwinian evolution is that you slowly get a longer neck, and it's like not how humans roll. Like our bodies didn't morph to suit our surroundings. We became hackers of the environment.
Didn't trees? I mean, maybe trees got taller because of other animals. Like the trees and the giraffes were meeting each other.
That's just one reason why you don't want to go the long neck route. Don't play footsie with Mother Earth. Like, fucking get down to roll up your sleeves. She's been trying to kill you for fucking 8 billion years, man. Fucking take a piece. Hey, everybody, it's Dan from Harmontown. If you listen to my show, not to judge you, but there's a pretty good chance you don't like putting thought into clothing. You're a type. Here's how I feel about clothes and clothes shopping. Like, I always feel good when I do have clothes that fit, that make me look okay, just like I like showering after I shower or cleaning my desk after I clean my desk. Before all those things happen, I is an impenetrable membrane. Like, I don't want to take the trouble, the time. It's a pain in the ass. Buying clothes is definitely in that category. What if there was a service that fit with your Dan Harmon-ish, sedentary, socially nervous, preoccupied lifestyle, i.e. able to be done with your laptop, that actually the end result was better than if you bothered to go out to the whatever the hell the horrendous places are where people are buying their clothes. What, Forever 44? I don't know where you're supposed to buy clothes. Because Stitch Fix Men. Sorry, ladies. I guess Stitch Fix Men has reimagined how to find and buy clothes. You never even have to leave the house. You just go to stitchfix.com, tell them your sizes, your favorite type of clothes, and how much you want to spend. That's the part I really like. Like, your personal stylist then gets to work handpicking new clothes for you based on your style and your budget. This is a person that's not, you don't have to feel their judgment and their aloofness and like you're back in sixth grade, like having to browse the Husky section with your mother. Five items are delivered right to your door and you try them on and you only pay for what you keep. I know these packages come. It's so easy. You don't have to write an address or affix a stamp or anything. It's like the old Netflix. Like, the shit comes to your house, you put it on. If it doesn't fit, you put it back in the bag, you leave it where it was laying, and it goes back, and then you're guaranteed the next time it shows up, it's gonna fit now. It's like kind of a great way to get new clothes. Shipping's free both ways. Anything you don't want, just send it back. Exchanges are always free too. You can get your fix monthly, quarterly, or whenever you feel like it. There's no subscription required. It's easy. The shipping is free. Why not give them a try? I promise you're going to be hooked if you give it a shot. Get started right now at stitchfix.com/Harmon. That's H-A-R-M-O-N, not Harmontown, just Harmon. And you'll get 25% off when you keep all five items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/Harmon to get started today. stitchfix.com/Harmon. I'm not a conservative. I'm not saying drill, baby, drill.
Who do you think is the most efficient animal in the animal kingdom? You're obviously not giraffes, but who
like, the most efficient animal?
Yeah, like, who is the most Darwinian or efficient design?
Well, I'm supposed to say cockroach because they survive the nuclear whatever. But I mean, forgetting about that nuclear holocaust thing, which I don't know if how much of that is apocryphal or whatever you call it. I feel like ants are...
Yeah,
because they're basically dirt that moves. They've combined individual life form and
colony
and through the colonial technique, like it doesn't matter if one of them dies, and yet. They just like, I don't know. It's kind of amazing what they do, those little guys.
That's an interesting answer in comparison to giraffes, because one of the giraffe facts that I learned is that they have no societal hierarchy or structure or anything. They're the opposite of ants. They're free form.
Oh man! See, I knew this was going to happen if we start. If I actually ever researched giraffes, I knew I would fall in love with them.
I have one big one that didn't.
They
make
sound
it.
Like the dolphin of the desert. I think that's what. I
didn't want to
episode title.
It didn't make it into the rap, but there's a very interesting one. Was that before mating, a female giraffe will urinate into the male giraffe's mouth.
How does he get down there?
I don't know.
He's got a long neck.
Well, because then there are all these things where they can't reach the ground, they can't really sit, but that's part of it. And I didn't want to bring it in into a negative context. I didn't want to kink shame
the female giraffe pees in the male giraffe's mouth.
Yeah,
and that's courtship.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well,
maybe.
I think it's to taste fertility. Taste fertility. Giraffes taste fertility.
she's saying, "Well, welcome to flavor country."
Yeah.
She's saying,
"I'm ready."
Yeah. Well, look. Let me pee in your mouth and taste whether or not you want to fuck me.
I mean, that definitely is like the opposite of ants, right? Because it's like there's no power dynamic there. I mean, we think, well, whoever's getting their mouth peed in is on bottom. But I mean, first of all, these are giraffes. They no one's on bottom.
There's no bottom.
They get their heads like in the clouds. But but it's also like.
Wait, so she leans down and drinks her pee?
I didn't see a diagram. I didn't see any type of illustration.
Does she pee in a puddle and he laps up the puddle? Or
yeah,
or does
no,
he get,
she pees in a puddle and he laps it up.
For real?
No, that's stupid.
I'm assuming that she said it jets like a certain
right. It
amount.
Goes up. He doesn't even bend down.
That it's like a
it's like a ping pong.
That it goes
like
that far up.
She can shoot pee in the air.
Well, what I love about that is it's all voluntary. Everything has agency. Every the guy, the girl, she's just like, yeah, da-da, don't mind me. But if anyone's interested, like, soup's check out on. What's for sale
he's
over
like,
here.
Like, look, I choose not to talk. I'm not a man with words. Let's just simplify things. Pee in my mouth. Let me taste whether or not.
And then
you're
you can like wander by and like take a slurp, like it's from in Milwaukee, what we call a bubbler, and you sip it, and then you go like, "Good morning, Margaret," and then you just keep walking, like she's not offended, you know. Like if you're not into it, if you're like, you know what, I'm gonna.
If I was a female giraffe and peed in some gentleman's mouth. And he just walked by, I'd be very offended. I would feel, well, what's my pee's not good enough for you?
Well,
how do you go back and
I would get nervous. I would leave the room and like, I would pee in the mouth.
Because I walked in on you peeing.
You did. And I did get, I admitted to you being pee shy and I stopped peeing.
He was already peeing in the urinal at Starburns. I went into the stall.
Yeah.
Peed, came out, and you were kind of like.
But you walked in, and you said, "Excited to hear that giraffe rap."
Yeah, well, yeah. I said hello. How do you do? I thought you were either mid or post pee.
Pre.
And then I was washing my hands, and you were, bravely admitted, I did that thing where I didn't pee because you scared me when you walked in.
Here's what I like about the pee tasting design, sexually, as a courtship ritual. There is no, I'm saying, like, it's happening behind her. She's peeing. She's facing this way. So is it, you know, you just pee, and then whoever's behind you just takes a taste like they're at a wine party.
Oh, so you know? Think,
like
you think the guy's sneak attack pee tasting, or is she peeing? Does she say, "Hey, come over here, I want to pee in your mouth"?
Well, I don't. I'm picturing a jet of pee, so I don't think I'd be surprised. He said the female pees in the male's mouth. We all thought the same thing. How is that even physically possible? They're giraffes. So then I went to, well, maybe it's like a jet coming out of her nethers, like going arcing into the air. And then it made me think of like a garden hose, like at a fun party where like it doesn't matter. There's enough for everyone. And that way, like there could be like several males like walking by and they just like take a nibble, you know, of it. Like maybe that's just let's say. I'm designing a perfect species here. I don't know what giraffes do.
We're almost there.
Like the woman pees in a giant arc, and if you don't want to get peed on, you don't go near there.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think in this species culture there's a lot of pee phobia. If you're in the vicinity of a woman who's peeing, You walk through it like a sprinkler. You can pretend you didn't taste anything. That's not offensive to her. You just walk through it and go, "Top of the morning, Sheila." But if it's, you know, if you get something on your tongue that's like, "Geez, she is like
lit,
dropping 1,000 eggs today." I don't know how you measure fertility. I she is fecund. And you're like, you know, and I'm a little riled up myself, truth be told. And then you circle around and you say, "Sheila, you're positively glowing today. Your urine is
on my face.
It tastes like you'd make a baby giraffe without me. Want to make one with me?" I'm assuming then she goes, she can say yes or no, and it's just like it's checks and balances. You know, we wouldn't have any of these problems. And then if he, this is perfecting the species. If she rebukes him, she's like, "I'd rather be with Stanley than you, Donald." The guy, he can go, "All right," and he can block her exit and jerk off into a potted plant.
That's the perfect species.
Just to psychologically torture her. And then we're done. Perfect. I'm kidding. Jesus Christ. Everybody's laughing at every other dumb fucking thing.
I'm sorry.
I looked it up. It's definitely an act. It's not like a there's a picture?
The church has footage of giraffes peeing on people?
No, they're drinking out of them like a fountain.
Oh, yep.
Like a bubbler.
Turn it around. How does the camera work?
It almost looks like a giraffe drinking its own pee. How bendy are those necks?
Yeah. It's like they're drinking out of the...
It's gotta be so tiring.
You know what it's like? It's like in The Lion King where everyone's around the watering hole and all the different, you know, and then there's the giraffes and they bend down and drink out of the communal... Just they bend down.
I haven't seen it.
Lion King. That's the main part of it.
Lion King.
It's mostly about giraffes.
So a male giraffe sees a female giraffe taking a pee.
No, it's a
ritual.
It's a ritual. Oh, it's like rubbing a neck. I'm gonna get behind you.
When they're courting, she's like, "All right, hey, do yourself a favor. Get around.
Get down here.
Get around the back end of this. I'm gonna fucking pee on you."
Every other species is like it's like somebody's just, you know, somebody's just, you know, being coerced.
Yeah,
I like sprinkler pee.
So are you on Team Giraffe now? Or?
I like the way they do some stuff. I like that they stomp tigers. I like that they're an herbivore that tigers are afraid of.
Maybe lions or...
Maybe that long neck ain't so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, they whack each other, like, and they really hurt each other by just swinging their giant-ass head.
They're like... I forgot how much they weighed. I mean, the... I really did learn some giraffe facts. Those are fatal blows.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to say like they're 70 pound necks. They're crazy. But that's not the right number. But
they must get like neck problems all the time, you'd think, right? Like if they're whacking people with their necks, like that would knock your vertebrae out of alignment, you'd think.
But also they have good posture. They're not like staring down at screens. They're up doing
right.
It.
They were for a while.
Right.
They're not like in drama club. You know, they have reasons to. I'm not going to jump the shark of starting to like giraffes, but
thank God.
So you've
softened your stance on giraffes, maybe a little bit.
Well, I'm just saying, you respect your enemy. Like, whoa, the important thing is that, you know, the reason I come down on giraffes is because people, I think there's an unspoken assumption that human beings, because they don't have long necks and they don't eat really high leaves and they don't live in the desert, and they don't walk around and they don't have animal print like style, like because of that, like we're some kind of horrible species that like deserves to die and whoa, we're killing the planet. Come on, we're pretty amazing. We're like little monkey robots. Like we're great. We took a different route. We're like, hey, listen, like what am I going to be, the perfect squirrel? No, does he become an ape? And then like, you know, we represent the branch of DNA that's like just kept doubling down on fucking insanity, you know, just going like, why don't you just fucking be Howard Hughes about it? Just show me the blueprints, baby. And that's a proud legacy.
What's your stance on like a bird?
Spiders?
Like a bird.
Birds?
Yeah.
I don't admire them.
Oh.
You don't?
No.
They have the gift of flight, Dan.
A gift or the free cookie of flight that was laying on the table that no one wanted to eat.
Evolution. They built feathers over time. They turned from lizards into feathered creatures that could fly.
Yeah, but look how many birds there are.
Yeah.
Like it's so derivative. Like how many species? Like there's like 5 billion species of bird.
Right.
They're all like quack 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 quack. Like you know, we've tuned it out because we evolved after them, so our eardrums don't bleed from listening to it. But they're fucking garbage animals. Like they're just constantly going like, hey, meh, 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 meh. Look out! My name's Steve. Ah, wow! Hey, over here! Check it out! Whoop whoop! Like they're insane. We've become them now, but like. It's like, I mean, birds are just garbage.
What about like a noble like owl, like just lives alone and hunts at night and just does his thing and his head can swivel?
Owls are crazy, man.
I mean, predatory birds are pretty kind of interesting because they're birds, but they eat fucking mammals. That's fucking that's berserk. Any animal, any species that crosses back over, like fish that eat fucking people or yeah. Birds or spiders that eat like fish or you gotta automatically go, they're awesome just because they're like Neo in the Matrix. Like they're not even like, that's pretty crazy. If you're a fish and you eat a monkey, like even though the monkey is my relative, I'm not like, oh, that monkey deserved it. I'm not a victim blamer. I'm just saying like, that's a cool fish.
How do you feel about whales?
I get it.
Ooh.
Don't you know? Look, you know, they had legs and they bailed.
The whales had legs?
Yeah, whales were like, I don't know, hippos or something, and then they went back into the ocean. Like they're like, can't do it.
Do they have vestigial hind legs and stuff?
I think they have. Yeah, you can see from the
they have hip bones.
Oh right, yeah.
I mean, they're mammals that live in the ocean.
Yeah.
Let's not, Jeff, please.
Jeff.
Mammals, dolphins, sea lions, walruses, you know, these are mammals that spent enough time on land that they have shoulders and hips, and then they went back into the ocean.
Why do you think they went back?
I mean,
there was too many birds.
I don't want to punch down, but it's like, I mean,
you saying they gave up?
What? No, they went for the brass ring. Of course they gave up. They went back to the where amoebas are. They gave up.
Maybe they went up there and go, this, it's fucking crazy out here. There's a sun that fucking beats your ass all day long, and there's fucking...
They might have just chose team water.
There's tigers, there's giraffes peeing on each other. And they're like, I'd rather go back and swim with the fishes.
I just, you know, people go like, oh, the dolphins, they're so... How do we know they're not, like, the best species ever? Just because we can't understand them because they squeak when they talk? Well, I'll tell you how we know. Because they were like dogs that bailed. That's how we know. They were on land. They had a shot. They had a
dolphins
shot.
Dolphins are smarter than dogs.
Yeah, I'm sure dolphins are smarter than a lot of things. But you know what they're not smarter than? Us. Because they fucking, like, we stuck it out, man. We're like, all right, here we go.
I think a great
inspiration. Time to climb a tree, motherfucker.
Right, what about like a fucking badass crocodile? They have no enemies. There's no one above them in the food chain.
Crocodiles and alligators, you gotta give them props, right? Because they're like basically dinosaurs. They
stuck it out.
They're like your friend that listens to vinyl, but like actually has like a system that you're like, oh, actually, I gotta hand it to you. You're not just jerking yourself off here. Like this works. Like I can't get Purple People Eater on iTunes. Yeah, man, you gotta, you know, like when you have a friend that's like a vinyl hipster, that's like you actually can see the practicality in it.
But if you put a giraffe versus a crocodile, giraffe's gonna win. Cannot run them, or
but I'm not.
To,
you know, I'm not a violent. I'm not. I don't believe that. Then sharks? We should all love sharks, right? Sharks are fucking dicks. Sharks are the worst.
You don't like sharks?
No, sharks are assholes. Sharks are amoeba that just fucking fucking voted for Trump at every evolutionary election. They just turned into everybody was like the other amoeba were like, we're gonna become worms and tubes, and the sharks are the ones that were like, yeah, but wouldn't we need teeth to like eat? And everyone's like, okay, cool, you can do that, but there's lots of plants to eat. And they're just like, no, and then just like they just turned into giant mouths that just float through the ocean.
What's the difference between you glorifying humans for sticking it out on land versus sharks sticking it out in the water and perfecting being in the water?
Well, I'm gonna say across the board, if you're in the ocean, you're a pussy. I'm just saying, like,
that
you're
is
either
a fucking hard stance.
I know. Well, also, I didn't want to. The thing is, like, language fails me because it's like this pussy thing. Like, I've been trying to like remove that from my vocabulary because it's like it's. Yeah. You know, like I used to say fag and retard and stuff too, and like I had to like teach myself to like knock it off, and like pussy's like, but it's hard. Like I need like a, you know, I want to talk
if
about.
If you could,
like,
go back in time and still use the words fag, pussy, and retard, what are giraffes?
You're not gonna. That's not.
We're going back in time. This is.
Let's put the N-word back on the table too.
We are living in a time when I can use all those words. It's a choice. The Secret Service didn't come to my house. My doctor didn't tell me cut down on the N-word.
I'm going to say the word giraffe.
But no.
And then I'm going to say fag, pussy, and retard.
You know, we
and
were
I
really.
Want you to nod
when, my doctor did tell me.
It's a new board game. It's a new Sweeping the Nation. Biology classes everywhere playing fag,
and
pussy, retard.
If you pay $5 a month for a subscription to Harmontown, you can find out whether Dan thinks giraffes are fags.
Wait, but then we should make it a full fuck, marry, kill and have three animals and play fag, pussy, retard.
I'm not subscribing to any of
this. I didn't say any of those words.
I don't know why.
All I'm saying is, like, if you're in the ocean,
you called all sea animals pussies.
I know. I've been biting my lip trying to think of like a way to say, like, I'm saying, like you're in the you're, if you're in the ocean, the earth is 85% water. Okay, so and as we all know, every human being is 85% moron. Like everything is 85% garbage, hack, dumb. 85% of all dentists suck at dentistry. 85% of all comics are unfunny. 85% of this podcast is this
retarded.
But like, and 85% of the planet is water. 85% of our body is water, and it's like yeah, it's the default. It's where we started. Okay, I'm a little teapot here. I'm an amoeba. I'm like, okay, I got an organelle. I got some ribosomes. I'm gonna, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, yeah, I forgive you because I am you. I'm your great grandson, amoeba. Like, but the amoeba that exists today, right now, the modern amoeba, he was just born a couple days ago. He's an idiot. Like, he's a jerk. Mm-hmm. His parents, like, we are a part of the family that branched off. Like, our DNA was assembled by, like, you know, risk takers. Like, we're a branch of the phenomenon called living genetics. We are the tentacle coming off of that one thing. That is the tentacle that actually grabs the brass ring. All the other tentacles are like, you know, just for safety's sake, why not stay an albino cave fish? Well, I'll tell you why. You can't see anything. It's ridiculous.
What about birds? Birds came. Everything came from the sea and from
right.
Primordial
we haven't gotten
ooze.
To the air,
and they were descended from like land reptiles. They go fuck it. I'm going to master the sky. They were flying for millions of years before.
You know, insects did that. It's dumb. Spores do that. Oh, I'm going to
spores are great.
I'm going to fly through the air and land on shit. Oh, whoop-de-doo.
That's awesome.
I just think it's cooler to be a lizard and then go up on two legs and like, I mean, it's just kind of neat, kind of cool. Kind of cool what we did. We come out of the water. We had to have like a scuba tank lung full of water for a while. So I got better lungs, could breathe air. It was crawling, got fur. Now this is where some of our cousins got weird fur that turned into feathers and started flapping around. I don't know what to think about them. You're talking about them like they're gods or angels. I just think that they're like your weird cousin. You know, the liberal arts major or something. I don't know whether to admire them or not. I just don't. I know. Well, I'm saying like, I'm not like looking up at birds and going like, fuck, they really nailed it. Cause they have hollow bones. You know,
that's why is that bad?
They have brains the size of the head of a pin. Like they don't even, I don't even think they know what they're doing, honestly, half the time.
I think you nailed it with, what I immediately imagined as like an inspirational, motivational poster in an office setting with the dolphins are dogs who gave up. And just like a beautiful picture of dolphins.
Yeah.
Don't be a dolphin, be the dog. Stick it out.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing is big fans of my podcast already know, if you've listened to 400 episodes of this show, you know I subscribe to the Elaine Morgan theory of human evolution, which explains the fact that we're different from chimps, gorillas, and orangutans in all the ways that dolphins, sea lions, walruses are different from other mammals. We have everything in common with dolphins and whatnot that we don't have in common with our great, great ape cousins. And Elaine Morgan suggests that's because 4 million years ago, we too flirted with the dolphin route just long enough to lose our hair, get blubbery fat and regulatable breathing, upright vertical posture. And then for some reason, fucking, we toughed it up.
What if dolphins
got back on that land? And that's why our story structure follows that principle.
What if dolphins kicked us out of the sea?
Oh, my God.
We're like. Nah, we're exiled to land,
or we got jealous of them. Like they were like, "Hey, you want to play?" And we were like, "Oh, yeah, I think I forgot my phone." And we were just like petty about it because we're like, "God damn, they're like fucking."
Think that's the thing about the aquatic ape theory otters. Is that your early hominoids fled to the water's edge because it was full of giant animals.
I'm not gonna lie. If I'm playing the first-person shooter of ancient Earth, Yeah, that thought's gonna cross my head. So why don't we stand like waist deep in the ocean, see if this tiger wants to.
If a big ass saber toothed tiger's coming at you, I go, well, I can go paddle out a little bit, and they go, there's food down here. I can hold my breath for 5 seconds and go get an abalone. And, oh, this is giving me all these B vitamins, and my brain expands.
Yeah.
And I come back out of the ocean and go, oh, I'm smarter now. I can probably make a weapon and kill these tigers. But there was also the thing, why not just live in the water? And I go, no, because there's things worse than tigers in the ocean. There's sharks that will fucking eat you alive.
Yeah, I mean, it could have just been ambition. It could have been like, okay, let's stay in the water, but, like, you know, see you later, and the people that did stay in the water were out hunted, and there are people in Africa that live like very much like, you know, the women give birth in the surf, they squat and the baby comes out like a little wine cork or a little poop, and they kind of bob to the surface.
The Iron Isles.
I don't know if it's the Iron Isles or not. I haven't. It's been a long time since I looked at the maps.
It was a Game of Thrones reference. Yeah.
But it could also be. I mean, and this is cartoonish of me to suggest because I really don't know anything. Obviously, that I'm talking about. But could it also have been an ice age? Like, is that cartoonish thinking? Well, maybe we had a semi-aquatic phase during a time when the primates in general are the reason that they're all going extinct is because we are the result of a particularly like lush equatorial like super rich kind of like tropical biome, you know, that like could afford to sustain a great ape, which is an ape that can't even fucking climb trees anymore, basically, like doesn't have a tail anymore and is a big giant just almost waste of time, except for woo-hoo, yours truly, hello old so-and-so. So that's why I don't like giraffes, you know, because I just feel like they're glorified. Like there's nothing in the
who's out there. That's the thing. Horrifying giraffes. Who's giraffe making a big deal about giraffes?
Africa leans on them pretty hard. I feel like.
Anytime you see
like a commercial for Africa,
I think of elephants personally. But
I was
right.
in a hot tub at the Disney World's Africa. What church? What's that resort called with the African resort? In Florida, Animal Kingdom. So we had just like drank a beer in every country in Epcot. It's called Drinking the World. Mm-hmm. I made it through. Then we went back to the crib. No, then we went to saw like Cirque du Soleil. Everyone fell asleep. I made it through somehow. I went back and took a Vicodin or a Percocet or something like that, and sat in a jacuzzi. And I was so drunk, and I took this painkiller, and I felt like I was floating above the jacuzzi. And a fucking giraffe walked by, like right next to the fence where I was. And there was a big ass giraffe walked by.
Starts pissing in your mouth.
And just gave me a look. And the look, even if I weren't drunk and on a painkiller, the look was like, you fucking drunk, bro. Like, he fucking gave me a very professional, like fatherly kind of like, wow. Then he peed in my mouth and I started fucking him.
Do you mean fucking him?
And I mean, I was fucking him. Here's the thing about fucking a giraffe. You really got to get up there.
You need a ladder.
I think that giraffe, because his DNA is old and African, I think he was going by and looking at a monkey in some water and going like, when are you guys going to pick a lane?
Pick a lane?
I thought the giraffe was seeing you being in a body of water, like swimming or something, but and you, be like, I can't do that.
As you know, that they choose not to swim, right?
No, they choose not to speak. They can't swim.
Well,
No
one's ever seen a giraffe.
I know that's hard to believe. Sorry. We've electrocuted an elephant for fun.
I will donate.
We didn't drop a giraffe.
This is my thing. I'm looking. Where's my camera? $50,000 for footage of a giraffe swimming.
Oh, no. Oh.
Huh? I don't care if they're... No, you could be breaststroking. I want to see a fucking giraffe.
Breaststroke.
Just making it from point A to point B and just completely swimming along.
Well, you know, there's that, what is that, like, British show, like, called The Sex Box, where there's a big box and the people go and have sex in the box on stage completely in private. Maybe if we set something like that up, then a giraffe would maybe feel more comfortable swimming. Because no one would actually be seeing it swim.
I think giraffes probably do swim.
They're just embarrassed about it, clearly.
Also, I think probably when no one's listening, they're fucking chatting up a storm.
They only talk while
swimming. Who wants to go swimming?
That would be great.
What do you think a giraffe sounds like?
Like a high-pitched cow.
Well, just do... Can't you just... that's I would pick that as a giraffe sound, yes. Oh, that was a little peacocky.
That's a good one.
What do you give us a giraffe?
Did that get picked up at all?
It might be one of those.
I put my hand over the mic, so.
It might be guttural and gross.
Kind of camel-like.
Because camels...
Yeah, I think of camels.
Okay, so we're talking about a tenor camel. A camel is like a...
There's footage of giraffes spitting, right? Giraffes spit at people.
That's camels.
Well, camels do that, but that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe they're...
Or just, their Latin name or their Roman name is that they looked like... It has something to do with camels. Because the Romans or whoever was spotted them was said this is a weird camel.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Weird camel. Everything's a weird camel.
Yeah.
You can't just add weird to that's.
Or like a.
Are giraffes dromedaries or no? Camel.
I was gonna say I think they are, but
are they part of the dromedary family or no?
Dromedary.
That's camels.
I don't know. It's I don't know kingdom. The word. That word.
Didn't you just Google this a couple nights ago, Tom? Rob, I called you Tom. I don't know why you're Tom all of a sudden.
The Roman taxonomical chart is just all. It's just a chicken at the top, and then everything that tastes like chicken, which is everything, is just down in different columns. Weird camel tastes like chicken. I don't know. I just thought that was like the whatever. I didn't connect those dots very well. You know that
the Romans would bring on their triumphs when they would conquer like cities in Africa or in you know like the Middle East and stuff, and they'd bring back these animals and they'd walk them. They bring an elephant back to Rome, and everybody would lose their fucking mind. And it's like what the world's full of aliens.
And then
like,
they just attack it with swords.
And they fucking.
I don't think it's funny animal cruelty. I just think it's funny how dumb we are as like that you I don't know, it's just like little kids understand that giraffes aren't or shouldn't be fought with swords, but Romans didn't like know that yet, you know, like they just took giraffes and put them in the Colosseum and then had like a slave attack it with a stick.
You know who a badass is that nobody fucks with is an adult zebra. Zebras will fucking get you. They'll fuck. They're just made of muscle. They're horses, like with muscles.
Horses are scary. Like I don't know. I think we take horses for granted because they're common animals, you know. But when you see a horse, it's like that's a fucking monster. Like if this thing had scales, I would be running.
But you notice that we've never domesticated zebras because you can't because they won't be fucking domesticated. You cannot. You've never seen anybody riding a zebra because a zebra will eat you.
No, they have a lot of them in Tijuana.
What?
They have Tijuana. They
paint them.
Yeah, they have like.
No, so that's donkeys.
I know they spray paint them. I was doing a bit.
What, you know, the donkey shows spray paint the donkeys to be zebras?
No, like out on the street corner. What do they call them? Zonkeys?
Zonkeys, yeah.
For some reason, they love Tweety Bird. But like they just at every street corner, it's like a thing that you paint the donkey with stripes, and then you like you charge people to take a picture standing with
a donkey. That's fucked up. But a zebra will kick your ass. A zebra will beat up a horse. I want to see zebra versus giraffe.
I wonder how much flexibility is in that marketplace. Like, if I'm a Tijuana businessman and I have a donkey, like are they being, like, just unimaginative? Or is this, like, a steel trap of a market where, like, if you, like, one guy tries to put antlers and then it's just, like, fucking boo, no. Like, his family starves. It's just like, fuck you, you idiot. like they have reality shows down there, like called Zonky Rescue, where a guy comes in and goes like, "So what are you doing here?" "Well, I just thought I'd put antlers on my donkey." It's like, let me ask you something. Where are you standing right now? Tijuana. Like, look around. What do you see? Human shit and prostitutes. What else? Zonkies. Well, so what? So you thought that you'd just try to just like be Dr. Moreau about this?
It's an untapped market.
Yeah, well...
Like the animal activists.
I thought I'd try something different. Well, you just tried losing all your money. All right, next. Cha-ching! Like, whatever their sting is, and then it goes to commercial.
What if somebody brought an actual zebra down to Tijuana? Like, would that fuck up the marketplace, or would they...
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's
like a Nathan for you.
Yeah, let's pitch it.
Just bring a real zebra down to Tijuana.
I think that zebra gets killed immediately. Yeah. Because, like, no, this is, like... Like I didn't spend all this money on donkey spray paint for you to bring in a donkey spray painted donkey.
By the way,
the
zebra
can protect itself. That label that
Tijuana may be the
safe.
Cleanest city. If you're in Tijuana and you listen to the podcast, I'm very sorry. I'm talking about what 20 years ago when you took a train down to Tijuana and whatever neighborhood
also,
you let
Tijuana.
Off the train.
There's no Tia. It's Tijuana.
We love your Bibles.
Who invited Sir High Zonky? Get off your High Zonky.
get down off your High Zonky.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's like if there's like a if Tijuana is like a giant city and there's like a huge like awesome clean part of it or just a struggling but integral part that then people are like so bummed out because Americans always refer to Tijuana as like a shithole.
Zonkies are like the Tijuana. Times Square Elmos of Mexico.
Right. They're the cosplayers.
Right.
You know what else is in Tijuana?
we lost Dan.
You lost me. I mean, but I don't. I'm not. But the job isn't to keep me. Like I'm not a fucking. I'm no Optimus Prime. Like I'm not gonna lead you guys to victory for Cybertron. Like I'm just fucking wandering around up here like an idiot.
You guys hear about these bees' knees?
Yeah, they were big, all the rage in the 20s.
They're the cat's pajamas.
What would be like a 2017 knee, you know?
Like
the bee's knees of 2017.
You mean like what creature in the animal kingdom's knees
are more fashionable today?
Right.
Because I think the bee's knees are kind of lame these days.
Yeah, I mean we do like our bees these days. I think but look, let's pick another one.
I'd say the elephant's knees, because don't elephants have four knees? Aren't they the only mammal that has four forward-bending knees?
Oh, man, that dude, I went to this party last night. That shit was the elephant's knees.
That works.
It might accidentally encourage poachers.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that shit was the flamingo's knees.
I'm sorry, you guys. This is a bad idea. This was bad.
If it was... I have a good phrase for something that goes badly. The flamingo's knees.
What about Mrs. C's knees?
Hardly what anyone's paying attention to. If her knees are visible, so is the tip of her...
Her bat.
Her clit. Giant salami-like clitoris. It dangles.
That's a long salami.
Mrs. C's knees.
I'll take it.
Should we play some prolonged D&D? What do you think?
Is it still prolonged? Have we been up for something? It's like, I really lose track of time up here.
Time has been moving very slowly.
I want to assure you subscribers that... it's a moving target. If we do the show 52 weeks a year, as we have been, like, sometimes it's just going to be, and look, here's the thing. Where are you going to take your business, Garrison Keillor? Uh-oh.
Too late.
Looks like the throne is empty. Sounds like someone's the king of boring broadcasts. Maybe I'll do a film noir parody for 6 hours.
Until you find
Bebop a rhubarb pie.
Until the news drops that Spencer's been forcing potted plants to watch him jerk off for 5 years.
That's still legal, right? Is that out of fashion
yet? It's certainly
yet?
Legal.
Right.
I just don't know how that affects our business model.
Our podcast, I would like to say, is, well, I don't want to jinx it, but we are proofed against future allegations because I have spent 40 years just terrified of women. I may have treated them poorly. I certainly like thought of them in my head wrongly, but in no way. If I have thought about having a button installed on my desk that would lock my door to keep people out while I jerk off thinking about a mannequin. I will not hurt anyone. You will not find out I've hurt anyone. I am just scared. Jeff, too cocky. He would never. I mean,
I just like to get along with people.
Yeah. Spencer,
this seems like tempting fate, right?
let's really tap that business.
Well, I was going to do Comedy Comes in Threes because I was going to say something like Spencer never leaves evidence. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm also terrified of women.
Spencer, no loose ends, Christmas.
That's what we call him. Old 50-gallon drum Crittenden.
When I think of things I did wrong, I remember like in seventh grade, there was like a hair on the back of this girl's shirt, and I wanted to take it off, but, you know, like I didn't do it. I touched her back instead, and then I was like, I'm the worst.
Oh man, I've done awful things like that. I look back on just to clear the air.
What did we just say?
Because I was jinxing it. I'm undoing the jinx.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
I'm sorry. Like when I was like 19 years old, I went on a date with a girl, and I remember like I pulled her back into the car for like she clearly didn't wanna
like a Biff Tannen.
Like I feel horrified even saying the thing sure. Is like I don't like on like saying those words out loud. It's like, oh Jesus, you pull like what you did what? But I never said the words out loud. It's like, but it's a thing that I did. Like I didn't like it was just like it wasn't like hateful. It was just, but it was like I grabbed and I clinged and I was like, come on, don't go. You know, like so she decided the date was over, you know?
Yeah.
So there's one. Like if we go back that far and, you know, if they find out.
Also, you've been fucking everyone's mama for as long as this podcast has been going on. I mean, you've been pretty candid about that.
What else have I done?
I think you fucked someone's mama on the lawn. That was MC John.
I think if you get into ex-girlfriends, like I just think, and definitely web bookmarks, like I'm just in big trouble.
Are you complicit in victimization? Because otherwise, I think you're in the clear.
No, but I think, when you hear about like inappropriate behavior, that means like the surf is getting close to my cabana.
Right.
Because I don't know what inappropriate behavior is. You just see that in the headline. I keep telling myself, well, that I hope that means touching and like forcing and like things that have like a clear line around them. Because if it starts to become like, well, that joke wasn't very funny, but he doubled down on it and he kept telling that joke, you know, like stuff that's like a legitimate grievance. Like, I don't know. There's probably people out there with stories.
You know, that Al Franken thing, it's kind of weird. I was arguing with someone on Twitter about this, and I think they turned out to be right, but they were mad because people were kind of lumping the two allegations together, the groping allegation and the kissing allegation. And Al Franken has kind of denied the severity, although he apologized about the groping thing because it was like this was a staged photo or whatever, but then he kind of just said, as for the kiss, I don't remember that. But that's arguably a more egregious offense because it includes potentially forcing his tongue down into her mouth, which is like that's pretty gross. And the person was saying that lumping them together means that wouldn't get taken separately, and then people would focus on the groping, which is easier to dismiss, and so you're kind of you know dealing with it that way. But we really kind of don't talk about that part of it, which is to me a lot more aggressive.
I know, but every time we start talking about it, if we're saying anything other than look, I did something, I'm thinking differently, whatever, like you can only have these conversations about like what anything that mitigates the idea of a claim is like kind of that's a hot stove for who knows how long. I don't know how long that stove will stay just like bright red hot. I'm not touching it.
I did. It was good.
I just think like
I've thought the same thoughts though.
It's a bummer
because one thing is hearsay and one thing is like a, but I talked about that last week where it was like the weird thing about it is that I felt I could put my I found myself becoming like a weird liberal version of a Roy Moore supporter right. almost like in this it's like a microcosm thing because it was like as soon as I started freaking out about net neutrality and thinking that there was a political reason for any of this, then I immediately started going like, well, what if this woman's just lying, you know?
Right.
And the phrase, what if this woman's just lying has to be a, I think my rule to my game I'm playing is that's not a conch that's available.
Yeah.
That's behind glass for about 5 years.
But you don't have
whenever
to be
I hear the all clear.
Like you're not advertising that though. You're just explaining your thought process. If thoughts enter your head, that's just kind of, you can't stop that. It's how you deal with those thoughts. And yeah. And I don't think you've been like,
that's why I would put a button on my desk that locked my door. Can't control thoughts.
I'm thinking here.
Just to be clear, again, it's to keep people out, not to keep people in.
When I went to the University of Southern California, like I stayed in a dorm where a lot of film student kids were, and mostly guys that I met anyway. If those guys, a lot of whom were rich. Kids that are going to go on to have like lots of access and lots of power in the film community. If they ever were going to be the Harvey Weinstein-y kind of gropey, rapey asshole, gross guy, I think there's a huge part of like men going into positions of power with government or film, and like I can control what women do. Like I can make that. I have.
You can
power.
Tell them to do things.
Yeah, I can make them do things that they might not want to do because I'm in a position to affect their lives and careers. I don't care how many people have to fucking go down with the ship of like all these allegations right now. I would like to think that if you're in a film school right now and you're a young man going through film school and thinking of being a producer or a director, you watch your fucking step now, because if you do anything, that's cause for fucking retirement like instantly.
If you haven't thought about it, and that's maybe one of the reasons that you haven't thought about is a reason why you want to rap or make movies or ride a unicycle or I think that like for guys it can be a super unspoken, super unchallenged thing. Like yeah
well society it's signals like, that's what we should be doing too.
It's something that we've been allowed to not think about for like 60,000 years.
There's been no sword of Damocles over your head. Like you were allowed to do it, and the worst case scenario that you had a reputation.
But I mean, the media has said the signal that you're a bad, you're a downtrodden protagonist because you don't have a job and you don't have a girl, and then you go through a journey and you get a job and that gets you a girl, and that's succeeding at life. That's what we tell people they should do. You should get a job because a job will get you a girl. And that's, you know, and there's no agency in that. But I think that that's the signal we've been saying through storytelling for years and years. And, you know, we're only just starting to realize those are the signals we've been sending. And that's not necessarily what we should be doing. Although that's still mainly the story underlying a lot of stories is they go and do some task that then gives them professional acumen and a woman.
Well, oh,
go ahead.
No, we were talking about that the other day, too. Like, that's the 80s movie thing where you're supposed to root for the underdog who's still a white man, but he is like the beta male, and his enemy, he's the default, he's the base of like the lowest you can be is a nerd in a school, and even if you're white and straight and affluent, like you deserve whatever you're able to get. So if you're able to beat the jock, then the getting the girl is your prize and you've earned it. Like you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, right. even in the most woke 80s culture, it's like the alpha males Aryan girlfriend,
right,
who's classically beautiful, that the nerd protagonist wants the whole movie. is then the third act as he realizes that he should have the woman that he had the whole time, right. His best friend, who's got maybe shorter, darker hair. Mm-hmm. And but it's all, it's like the unspoken thing. Because you watch a movie like that, you're 10 years old, it's the 80s, and you go, oh, this movie has a pretty good value system. Like, it taught me not to go for this judge a book by its cover, because why, you know, this Daphne, oh, you can fall for these things. And like, oh, but it's Boof that I want. She's my best buddy.
Oh, Boof.
That's Teen Wolf, the original movie.
Well, it says it's saying like Hero's Journey wise, like once you become fully self-actualized, that's when you get to have a girl. When in real life,
exactly.
The thing
it's
of
a
like
reward.
Becoming a real person.
That's
like,
exactly the point.
Like,
yes.
You know, that's, having a girl in your life who makes you smarter.
It's a reward.
Forget about the way Miller. We've always known that Budweiser was lying to us by telling us that if we drank Budweiser, we'd get laid. Like, right. We've all been smart enough to know that. We've made fun of that if we're over a certain tax bracket or IQ. But the thing that I think the smartest of us like got away with not thinking about is that idea that part of fulfillment in general, spiritual fulfillment even, is acquisition of a female.
Yeah.
Is like coupling up. Right. And it's, yeah, whatever. Okay. We did a good job.
That's the thing in every mythology. It's coming back from, like, there's the oneness, and then, you know, in the, you know, Adam and Eve story, it's like God makes man androgynous, and then they split apart, and then the whole journey is like they're half of each other, and then they have to come back and realize, like, you know, the, and then like the father and the I'm mixing things, but like the father and the mother are the same thing. It's all the oneness. That's like when you become fully self-actualized, and the fulfillment of the self is realizing the male and female in those heteronormative terms are two parts of the one.
Yeah. And there's a syndrome there, because I don't know why I'm bothering to even look out at a landscape of shit as if I didn't write a pilot where Joel McHale plays a guy who the thing that is driving him is he's trying to fuck Britta, so he's doing everything that all of my sexual role models did in the movies that I grew up on that socialized me, which is he's lying to a woman to try to trick her into fucking him. Mm-hmm. Because if he does that, he'll be happier. And it's romantic because he look how befuddled and what a crazy tangled web he's weaving. Oh, you men, you're willing to do so much just to get that sweet pussy. It's like I looked at it as like oh well, this is what drives us all. It's like wanting a hamburger.
Right.
So I'm worried about writing a sitcom. What's motivating this protagonist? So I did the same thing in the 21st century that I had grown up on, which is just like. And
but
if
you ultimately make it clear that the superior male role model is Abed, like over Jeff, who doesn't have those same, like, as the two parts of that male part. Not that you know, Abed is specific. I don't
maybe
know.
Throughout the lifetime of the show, but
I'm explaining
the first six episodes of that show are just basically like the same old John Hughes slash Kevin Smith slash whatever. It's just you're a man. You want to get that woman. But part of that, I think that's like guys like me that are just like, well, I want to write a TV show. I want to write a movie. I need to motivate this character. It's like, oh, well, let's put a bone in front of the dog so it goes around the whole circle. And like it, you when with you know, not realizing that you're fundamentally like, you're not even like, you're going to work with a box around you that you didn't even know you had around you, like, and then you think you're making these decisions, but you're like inside this box. Anyways, I'm glad this topic is unavoidable. I'm glad that we've talked about it consistently for the last fucking whatever. I hope we talk about it for another year. And if you hate every time it comes up, then you're a rapist.
And I hope we keep talking about it as a group of white men.
Yeah, I hope every time we do it.
I'm serious.
I hope someone ends the conversation with that punchline.
No, I'm serious.
Oh, I thought you were.
I'm gonna have it. If we start talking about this, if there's a not white guy on stage, I'm gonna shut it down.
All right.
Yeah. Because what more can we add to the perspective?
I've been...
Sweetie, we're trying to do a show.
Yeah, I've been doodling over here. I drew a kind of a bad giraffe. I drew, I think, like some sort of prince with a turban on his head. Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas and happy holidays from Harmontown. I'm Jeff Davis with Dan Harmon, Spencer Crittenden. Yo. You know, every year, millions of people receive the least liked gift of all time. You know what that is? Underpants.
But we still give it to our family and our loved ones who just don't want it, you know?
Guys, it's not underwear that's the problem. It's the kind of underwear.
What you talking about, Dan?
Enter MeUndies, our favorite sponsor, the best undergarment ever fabricated by humanity. It's got a soft, flexible waistband. It's 3 times softer than cotton, and it's made from an ungodly, natural, sustainably sourced fiber called micromodal.
I'm wearing them right now. MeUndies makes underwear the perfect gift that everyone is going to love you for, and also your genitals will love you so much more.
It's a goddamn holiday miracle. This year, don't give underwear, give MeUndies.
This holiday season, to get your exclusive 20% off the softest underwear and socks you will ever wear, free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to
MeUndies.com/Harmontown. That's MeUndies.com/Harmontown.
One more time.
MeUndies.com/Harmontown.
Just hear those balls and pussies and dicks and butts go yoo-hoo.
You know they're swaddled. And cotton, not cotton, but
it's modal for you. With 10 Tony nominations, including Best Musical, the New York Post says Something Rotten is a big, fat hit. This hilarious new show tells the story of two brothers who are desperate to write their own hit play while the rock star Shakespeare keeps getting all the hits.
When a local soothsayer foretells that the future of theater involves singing, dancing, and acting at the same time, the brothers set out to write the world's very first musical. With its heart on its ruffled sleeve and sequins in its soul, New York Magazine says Something Rotten is The Producers meets Spamalot meets The Book of Mormon. Tickets are at the AmundsenTheater.org. That's the Amundsen Theater.
Now through December 31st, tickets at AmundsenTheater.org. Now we return you to podcast.
Something Rotten. You'll float too.
All right. How much D&D time do we have left?
We got
most of it.
All right. So let's thank Rob Tancham for his lyrical madness.
Rob Tancham, GiraffeX. Given GiraffeX. People don't know that giraffes wear giraffe slacks.
I think I'm conflicted about the, do we have to have a no applause rule? Because when 9 people applaud, it just sounds like then everyone hears the 9 people applaud.
I don't think it's going to hit the microphones either way. I think if you hear in the background.
I'm going to listen to it again.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to like walk around with a baseball bat and go, okay, guys, there was a lot of laughter and applause last time.
Do we have Levy here?
Yeah, let's bring him up.
Is Levy here? Steve Levy. Bring it. More white dudes on the stage. It's white guy time again.
But at least I'm like somewhat of a minority, right?
Yeah. You're the Jewish Paul Newman.
Paul Newman was Jewish. I thought we established
that. Yeah, we are now officially as diverse as the White House.
You are still,
now that you're up
here.
You are
still the Jewish Paul Newman.
I'll take it.
Just because he's also Jewish doesn't make him more Jewish than you.
Okay.
I'm just trying to diminish your sexiness in any way I can. I don't know why that's the way to do it. I mean, Paul Newman's a great-looking guy. I'm trying to kind of soft, like lob you a compliment. And
well, wasn't Paul Newman when he was young, wasn't he kind of like, was he blonde?
He was always
me kind too, bro.
He was always kind of...
Well, we were all... You mean like as a toddler?
Until I was like 7, maybe.
Me too.
I think that's like how babies work. Yeah.
I was strawberry blonde, if that's a thing. I had reddish blonde hair.
They say that's one of the things, and by they, I mean I think the person who wrote the intro to Playboy's Blondes, Brunettes, and Redheads to 1989, that we associate blonde hair with youth. And by youth, I guess they meant babies.
My beard grows in red sometimes, and my mustache is blonde.
That's cool.
It's crazy, right?
There's only one thing that makes me sad about watching my body
you're
die.
You're like Paul Newman Spumoni.
I miss my beard. You I miss my day? Red beard.
Your beard's already back.
No, I miss the red. I miss. I'm fine with a gray beard, but it's like big deal. Gray beard, Dumbledore. Like gray. My beard was. It was fun when it was before it went gray. I don't care if I go bald. I mean, I am going bald. I don't care. My eyes are melting. I don't care. Diabetes.
Your eyes are melting.
Well, you know, I got two pairs of glasses. I got one so I can see a little bit of the airport. I got another one so I can see my phone. Look, kids, here's what happens. You get placed into a little baby body, and then it's the cells are dividing for 18 years, and then they just stop, and then you're just like a tree, and the fall is 60 years long.
Jeff, do you think that
don't have a degree in this, but I'm pretty sure that's how it is.
You think one day I'll have a super successful food business?
I think you're going to really succeed in salad dressings and spaghetti sauces.
Cool.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
Paul Newman passed away, didn't he?
No.
Yeah.
He did?
Unfortunately, okay. Yeah, I think he did.
Well,
Paul Newman died?
Pretty sure it was a while ago.
Like just now? Or okay.
No, like years ago.
Well, he's, I mean...
7 years ago. Nope, 9. I thought I was 2000.
Only the Sundance Kid remains.
So now you're not the Jewish Paul Newman. You're just the new
live Paul Newman.
You're the alive Paul Newman. Does it make you any less Jewish?
Moving Paul Newman.
Mm. Moving?
Yeah.
Like motion. Like
animate.
Animate. Yeah. You're not wrong.
All right. So, Spencer.
How's everyone feeling?
Good. Jess got a nice haircut going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I got a little haircut. Dan, you lost your beard.
It's starting to come back.
Spencer, you just become more and more an exciting cast member of the bus and truck company of hair every moment.
What's my hair doing?
My hair's been kind of loose in the ponytail lately.
Do you ever trim off the ends so it can grow longer? Or you just let it do its own thing?
No, I just it's all too much work.
Are you at your ideal hair length, or do you?
I don't know. I think my hair is at a length where it starts to become split ends and kind of disintegrates on its own. Yeah, so it's not really
because hair will stop on its own. If you cut off those split ends, it'll keep growing. You can make it grow quite long.
All right, I might.
Sometimes I think about what Spencer would look like if he did like the boy band spiked hair, you know?
I'd look like Joey Fatone.
Because he's got so much. How high would it go?
Oh. Like spike it up and frost it.
I'd look like Paul from Tekken.
Frosty tips.
Hmm.
I put this challenge out there to Harmontown fan art people. Let's see what we can make Spencer look like with some long Spencer hair length frosty tips.
That look like Gerald from Hey Arnold.
Oh, damn.
Or Yahoo Serious.
Gerald.
Or Yahoo Serious.
If I can invoke the name of Yahoo Serious. Is he alive? He must have died.
Looking it up.
He and Paul Newman both dead, and the only way that matters, we have to ask.
He seems to be alive. No, he can't be.
Yahoo Serious.
You got one job as an entertainer, kid. Keep making him not have to ask if you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yahoo Serious had a license to print money for a while, and he fucking squandered it.
Come on. I'm guessing Yahoo Serious was a victim of like some shit he wasn't ready for. Like I think some dudes from William Morris like went down to an open mic.
You call that a contract? This is a contract.
and he was like, "Well, if you really think so," and they're like, "Oh, we think so." And then like he was probably 11 years old.
Spuds McKenzie made more money in 1 year than I've ever made in my life. There was a time when Australian things were really fucking hot. Oh, shit.
Wait, yeah. Spuds McKenzie was Australian?
Wasn't he?
What?
No, I'm thinking Jocko. Spuds McKenzie was an English bulldog. I take that back. Remember Jocko? The battery guy?
Yeah, we remember Jocko. Yeah.
All right, Spencer, do you want to fucking take us back I forget what happened last time.
I know.
I mean, I remember, but I don't totally remember.
That's not what you just said.
He forgot.
Yeah.
Refresh our mutual memory.
Last time on Harmontown, our heroes were on the quest for Patchen's gem. Going along with Patchen's to the nearby town of Dornester, they encountered Geffen, that guy that they'd met a couple times at this point. Geffen was headed to Dornester as well, because he suspected the church was on weed. Then you guys went to the town and you saw some crazy things in the form of zombies and skeletons. They seemed bummed out in a graveyard because music was playing from a harp. Diarrhea Jr. tried to inspect the harp music, but it vanished in a flash of ruby light, and then the zombies attacked like they were mindless zombies. They were dispatched in short order. As morning broke, it was time to enter Dornester, and they met the guards at the front gate. Applying various methods, they got in the front gate. And then they decided that they'd split up, but met up and decided that they wouldn't split up, or maybe would. That's where they are now. Follow them today. What will they do? How will they succeed? Patchen's gem. Now.
Perfectly timed.
Could the camera see that I was like pinching my nipple? Because I definitely was that whole time I was reading. And wait, assuming I was on camera, it would be captured.
With your left hand, you were pinching your right nipple?
Yeah, like this.
Is that a thing you do?
I guess. It seems to be right now. Seems normal.
Did I ever tell you guys on this podcast that my doctor was giving me a testicular exam and my hand drifted up to my nipple? Yeah,
this is amazing.
I was like just instinctively. Like, because I was like, because there was shit going on with my crotch. I just like stretched.
One time,
and I think it was like it's like he's like, all right, I'll just check it out, and like, and he's and I think it was probably something like I went like, it was just like amazing to me that I would like it
would. that must be some sort of like youthful comfort mechanism.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. I think it's just some weird.
Yeah, or a middle-aged comfort mechanism, because I don't know when adopted nipples became that. So important to my bedroom life, but right. They did. That round was bended. Like for sure, it's like because like nothing goes on in Harmontown without a nipple being involved.
I saw this like therapist or something. She was like a weird lady because she like had this mailer that's like, don't use any scented shampoo or wear any cologne before you come in the office and stuff, like, which is just a weird thing for like an anxiety doctor or something, because it's like anxiety inducing. But we were sitting in the office and I had my hands in my lap, and then she was like, do you always cover your genitals with your hands? Ugh. And it's like, where do I put my hands? And then I tried a bunch of different things, like to this side, to both sides. Like, and it's like, people put their hands in their lap.
And that's when you started doing this.
I was picking different places to put my hands so fast that my knees just started moving on their own.
I got a pet peeve about that shit.
The stuff?
No, the therapeutic technique of
asking you stupid questions.
Of just going like, did you notice when I asked you that question, your voice got a little quieter? Or, you know, look at your body language right now. Or like one time Cody and I were in couples therapy and Cody wanted to put a pillow. The therapist stepped out of the room and Cody put a pillow between us. And then the therapist said, because she came back in, and she said, see, right away, I think it's really important to notice that Cody's created a barrier between the two of you. Cody told me later she was farting and she didn't want to. She was worried about farting and like getting. And then when we told the therapist that a week later, because I was like, you have to tell her that.
Right.
You weren't creating a barrier. You were protecting me from your farts. That's adorable and intimate. And then when we told her that, she had to double down and go like, well, do you think maybe, she basically said, do you think the reason you were farting so much is because you needed a, it was like, all right, a lot of this stuff is like cold reading stuff. It's like let's try to make sense of our occupation. Here's the thing. I'm a fucking, like, you know, the reason I'm going like this and going like this isn't always because I'm like being resistant to you or like, yeah, it's like, I don't,
because you're touching your nipple.
Well, I don't know. This is who I am, you know? Like, I could be like fucking like really open to you and like really, I don't know. Like, I talk to people all the time and like they die, like young writers, and go like, because they take like these seminars and stuff, and part of it is like the now the people tell them like, well, when you pitch, like you should sit straight up and here's what you wear and all this stuff. I'm like, no, go in like a schlub. You think they're looking for schlubs? All right.
Yeah. All right. I always analyze people's body posture and then go, this is stupid. Like,
so is that your first notice, Spencer, that you were touching nipples during your...
No, that was just my hands in my lap. It was like, and I do that all the time, and then I do it, I think about it.
No, I mean the nipples just now during your opening read.
No, I've probably done that while I was driving. It's not like a sexual thing, but it's just like, yeah, I guess something that happens.
You're not going to deny that it feels good.
It does, like that. I mean, it doesn't feel as good as I always expect it to, which is maybe why I keep trying.
My nipples are too sensitive. I'm not a nipple guy.
What I'm saying. Oh, no, too sensitive.
Well,
sensitive.
Well then, you know, work on your
Welcome
fucking approach,
party.
Man.
Like, so you pinch your nipple?
No, I don't pinch. It's not like...
You rub a little stocking foot on your nipple.
No, I don't wear a stocking foot.
No, you rub a mannequin leg.
I was like, how would that fit? Like, there's nipple play if you're going to bed with me
there's
now.
Nipple play.
I don't know when it started. I don't know if it was a gradual thing. I don't know. But I know it's full on now. Now it's just...
Is it I won't say mandatory, but
it's not mandatory. It's just like, if you love me, you're gonna learn. Like,
Can there be a sexual encounter with you where there's no nipple play?
No,
or is that a lost?
Dan does not go for that.
I'll do anything if I'm in love with you.
Right.
Well, what? I don't. You can poop on me. I don't. If you need me to not
what
touch
am I,
my
what,
nipples,
what,
or
what
you,
am I,
you
a,
want to not touch
giraffe?
My nipples, like, all right. Anyways, I'm just saying,
sorry.
Pretty funny. A guy giving me like trying to see if I have cancer, and I fucking, because a hand went towards my groin, my other hand like shot up to my nipple. I just
okay,
thought that
so
was
we're
so
all
weird.
We're all through the front gate of Dornister, right?
Yeah, you're kind of, let's say you're kind of in the shadow of this gate. The guards seem pretty sleepy, and they went back to sleep, and they're currently asleep.
All right, so Carlos, I know the plan was that we were going to come in separately.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Here we are. Let's just move ahead.
But we can still do what we wanted to do, which is
the guards don't give a shit. They're sleepy.
This is my thought, and I think I don't want to over-explain it. It's just that, like, we're in this town. We don't really know what we're looking for, and more importantly, we know there's something afoot in this town. We need information, and we need to, like, I feel like it's a disadvantage for us to be perceived as a group, let alone a group of church officials.
Then why don't we right now split up and take like different parts of the town, different, like maybe I'll go into the tavern or you go into the thing. Like we'll all pick a, Spencer, what buildings do we see in front of us?
The 2 seconds.
Like my pitch is, well, he looks.
Yeah, good call.
My pitch is, it's going to be harder for me to pretend I'm not a cleric. You know, you should go frequent the taverns or whatever. I think I'll go to the local church.
And just to be clear, unless you guys get disguises, you might have plain clothes with you, but you're generally adorned in kind of church oriented garments. So unless you do something about that, you will register as some church people of some sort.
Mm. Okay, we should go shopping.
Shopping's free.
Everybody's working for the
what a girl wants, what a girl needs.
All over the world.
It's like, no.
Spencer, what time is it?
And it's like, hell yeah. It's early morning. No, it's not early morning. It's like maybe 10 a.m. at this point.
So shops are open?
Shops would be open.
let's go into a clothing store. Let's pretend we don't know each other. But
well, you guys, yeah, because I don't. I'm gonna go check out the church. Is there a Church of the Silver Flame?
Sure is.
I'll go there. You guys go shopping, and then split up.
We don't need to split up. We're not wearing church clothes.
You currently are. Then you're going to go shopping together.
Yeah.
Then you're going to split up like Siskel and Ebert at the end of at the movies. Like, people are going to know.
Are there any vendors like selling garments like out in the town? Like, or do I have to go into like a dedicated clothing shop?
There's like an open air market that has some smaller shops and mostly stores. Okay, So
I go wandering around looking for a clothing vendor to maybe find something to like disguise myself as maybe just a regular citizen.
All right. You find what's labeled by a wooden sign as the open air black market. There's a row of shops and stalls. There's kind of two rows that flank this. It's wider than a street, but it's kind of like a street. All of the stalls that are open are kind of guarded by a couple shopkeepers that are keeping all their wares like hidden under cloths and sheets and stuff. So it's all like secret, kind of secret wares. Most of these places are closed and shuttered. It's very striking. You wonder if there's like a recession or something.
I take a couple gold pieces out in my hand, and I'm kind of tossing them up and down, like playing it cool. But like clearly somebody that's got some money to spend, like whistling a little, you know, little tune.
All right. You see a familiar, colorful, like nice looking stall. Not a stall, it's like a cart. It's a cart for the Fabricators Guild. And there's a colorfully dressed fabricator who's like, he looks, I don't know, let's say he looks kind of like an Apple employee. And he type A's over to you and is like, "Hey there, good sir, check out my fabrication wares."
Is he a gnome?
Yeah, he's a gnome.
I go, "What's up, gnome?" We do a gnome handshake.
He does it, and he's like, "Whoa!" It's like, you know, he's real good.
And I was like, "Hey, man, you know what? All I've got is these bullshit rags on me, Jack. I want to just like get a new outfit.
Check out these duds, my brother. Aren't they slick and slimy?"
"Yes, super slick and slimy.
This slimy protects you against grease."
"For real?"
"Yeah, but it's slime is a downside."
"Okay, well, let's can we, what else you got?"
There's normal clothes too. We got all sorts of stuff. I can whip you up some clothes right now.
Do you have anything? Do you have anything kind of magical?"
I can't make like cool magical stuff. I'm like a hedge mage kind of fabricator."
"Hedge mage?"
"Hedge mage."
All I want is some just regular blend into the crowd, just regular street gear."
All right. He's like, "Yeah, man, you need some bright clothes around here. It keeps a pep in your step, my brother."
"I'm a druid. A gnome druid."
"Yeah, you are."
"Yeah, I like brightly colored stuff. So give me the flashiest shit you got."
He gives you like clothing that looks like a clown clothes or like gesture clothes. They're very loud and, garish.
"Do I like it?"
I'd say it's fashionable, but it is certainly like loud and intentionally like audacious."
"I buy those clown clothes."
"All right. They're a matter of copper."
"Copper?
If you should have enough money to cover it without really decrementing your money."
"Where's my goddamn sheet? I'm sure I do.
I truly don't know." "Well, it should be in there somewhere. Yeah, let's do Dan. Dan.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of looking. I'm assuming that if this is a town worth its salt, that the Church of the Silver Flame will have a keep or something that can be seen on the skyline."
"Yeah, it's the largest building in town, but not by much. It's still a pretty small, tiny church. It's kind of. There's only like a sanctuary and a couple other like side rooms. It's a pretty small footprint of a building. It also doesn't have that you can see like a silver flame on display, like a big brazier. It just has a bell tower, like a small, tiny church."
"Well, I approach it."
"All right. You see Geffen's horse. You see Geffen's horse. What do you call it? Tied up outside of the church, and inside you hear him yelling at people."
I eavesdrop for a moment if I can make out what he's yelling about.
He sounds like a drill sergeant, like he's barking out orders, and you can just hear the sounds of footfalls and people moving.
So he's saying, like, move it.
"Yeah, you lousy lots, you worthless louts, do laps and run and keep it up, and you're going slow, and don't go slow. You're supposed to be going fast now. I'm in charge." Stuff like that.
Well, I move into the building. I mean, I'm not trying to be stealthy. All right.
Yeah, you open the doors and you see everyone's just running laps around the outside perimeter or the inside perimeter of the building, and Geffen's saying, "Yeah, work it."
Does Geffen see me?
Yeah, he's like, "Hey, what's up?"
Hey. So I just wanted to let you know I'm going to try to do kind of a low key thing.
Are you telling me or him?
I'm telling Geffen.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't, if anybody asks you about me, don't tell him anything that I've told you about our previous missions. Like what happened back at, what's it called?
Roan. Or the city, or the church.
The place that we just were, yeah. What was the town with?
Pierburn Abbey?
That town. Was that Roan? No,
you started in Roan, and then you went to the home office, which was Pierburn Abbey, which is...
The place that we were at where the shit hit the fan.
Yeah, Roan.
All right. Don't tell anybody how you know me, like, and my compatriots, because I'm not like totally undercover. Like I'm not a badass or anything, but I just I'm trying to dig up leads in this town, and I don't want people to associate me with my friends.
You got it, stranger.
Thanks, Geff.
And yeah. Geffen is—he's a bishop in the church. Or?
You don't know what he is, actually. He's in the church militant, which means he's not necessarily a leadership, like a priest or anything. He's more like you, like a kind of hired gun mercenary.
That's
guy.
A good question. Anyway, I'll ask Geffen that. Like, how high up does this local chapter go? Is there a friar in charge of everything, or
no? There was a priest, but he actually left to go attend to matters at the Church of Roan when they had a leader. Leadership crisis. So in their absence, Peach has been leading the pack, but as you can see, she hasn't been running a very tight ship. So I'm whipping them into shape. Getting them off their weed.
What's Peach? Is she just a pilgrim or something?
Peach is she's, what is she? Let's see. Sorry, everybody. She's an initiate, which is the step you go before you become a, or it was a pastor, which is below a priest. It's like she's working up in the seminary ranks or whatever, you know.
Does she have an office here?
Yeah. There's the pastor's office, and then just the office, and then the sanctuary, and then the dining hall, which is just a tiny little kitchen.
Well, maybe I'll go have a chat with her.
Well. She'll have to finish running laps because she's also has to be whipped into fit shape.
Oop.
And he points her out.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, now I'm thinking in my head, like, I'm not going to get any information in this place.
All right. Back to the street. All right. You got clothes?
I'm wearing my new flashy clown dust.
Yeah.
I got a new outfit on. And I'll tell you what, I got a new pep in my step.
I want that. I walk over to Chad.
All right,
and I talked to the sales guy.
He goes, "Hey man, you want some new clothes? They'll put a pep in your step."
Hey dude, yeah man, make me look fly as fuck.
He looks through his clothes and he doesn't find any in your size, so he draws a bunch of stuff on the floor in chalk and magical powders, and he pours some stuff out and then does a magic and it makes some clothes on the floor, and he's like, "Here you go."
What?
Whoa.
Bespoke smoke.
What does it look like?
It looks it looks kind of like Jeff's, but like way shittier. Well, like
Chad?
Like, oh yeah, sorry, Chad. But like
I get XP for that.
Yeah, you get double XP this session. it looks like a rough draft version of his clothes, you know?
It's oh,
like
man.
He tried. Yeah, I'm not Come used on, to you making
gotta,
them in your size.
You gotta do me better than that.
I'll give them to you for free. How about?
Oh, by the way, Spencer, I had two gold pieces all on me, so that copper cover—that's covered with the coppers, right?
Yeah. Let's say you just have some loose change. It's gonna be. I'll say 10 copper because these are some cheap clothes.
All right.
But that's a pretty.
All right, so we're dressed up now. Me and Diarrhea.
Unless he doesn't want to wear the clothes.
I'll put them on.
They put a pep in your step.
Thanks for trying.
I did. Yeah, I did it.
You did it.
I didn't do a great job, but I did it.
Hey, what's your name, sir, that runs the clothing haberdashery here?
Jeff.
Your name's Jeff?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's why you said that earlier.
Right.
We're looking for a fellow named Patchens. Any word about Patchens?
I don't know anyone named Patchens.
Yeah. What about Secret Gems?
What are you talking about?
I'm just shooting the breeze, man.
All right.
I'm just fucking with you. Hey, where can a guy?
You know about those gems?
I don't know what you're talking about. Do you mean like rubies?
Come on, we're talking about gems. You got
rubies or gems?
You got to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You get double experience.
Hell yeah.
You get double XP for that joke.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, rubies are just a thing that exists, like diamonds. Is that? I mean, gems are. Yeah, gems. What about them?
Are there some folks in town who specialize in diamonds, gems, rubies? We got some gold pieces to spend, and we want to bling out, man.
Nah, this is like a poor shit place, man.
It's a poor shit place?
Yeah, this place sucks. We don't have we're not rich enough to sell gems.
Oh, I mean, I heard this town has a reputation. You know?
Oh, that's not my problem, my friend.
All right. Well, you seem like a good dude, so...
Oh, yeah. It's these clothes, my man.
You're an honest guy making your living.
So at my early... Whenever it's possible, uh-huh. I want to talk to this Peaches person.
All right. They finish their laps, and then everyone's kind of just passed out. Not passed out, but they're like laid out in the pews and stuff, kind of catching their breath.
Are you Peaches?
I'm Peach, yeah.
Hi, I'm Carlos, the unimaginative. I'm from Central Office, you know, from Flame Keep.
Oh yeah. We're not on weed.
No, that's none of my business. This is actually a separate matter. Is there a place we could talk in private?
Yeah, okay. Let's come to the priest's room. You enter the priest's room. It's really small. It seems like recently someone moved out of it and took most of the things off the shelves when they did.
Hmm. Looks like things are kind of disarray around here.
Yeah. A nearby church blew up, and we had to have our priest go over and kind of straighten out this shit.
What was his name?
Daffron.
Hmm. How much of an ear to the ground do you have around here? Are you from Dornaster?
Yeah, I've been here a while.
I trust this will stay in this room as church officials. You know, I'm from the militant, and, you know, some of the things I do are a little less holy than some of the stuff you guys are used to. It's all in the name of the Silver Flame. You know what I mean? All right. I just, I'm curious, since, you know, if this town, are there people in this town that are available for hire, if you would need certain things procured?
Like day players?
Well, collectors of other people's stuff.
Well, I mean... A lot of people here are ruffians, brigands, sellswords, and thieves.
Do I have the letter? Remember the letter that we had? That you said it was like in this guild speak mm-hmm. kind of thing. Do I have one of those?
You have that message, sure.
That's like if, is there a guild chapter that uses this language?
Yeah, all the Dragonmarked houses use this language.
Dragonmarked?
All the guilds are owned by the Dragonmarked houses.
Right, okay. Yeah, I haven't worked in the private sector that much.
Mercenary guilds, Fabricators Guild, Seekers Guild. There's a lot of guilds. There's something like 13 or 14, I can't remember.
Is there a Thieves or an Assassins Guild?
Well, there's, what do you call it?
I mean, we don't have to call it anything, but like I said, this conversation doesn't have to leave this room, but it's church business and it's important to the Silver Flame.
Right. I mean, not really. There's no overt coalition of thieves and ruffians as far as I'm aware.
No, it would be a terrible thieves guild if it was overt. Right. I'm asking you, and the record will never show that I asked you, let mm-hmm. alone that you answered, as a Dornaster regular, you know, and somebody who it appears could use a good word from central office.
Yeah, I mean, we're innocent, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't smoke pot.
No one does.
Yeah. Like, you're misunderstood. You're doing a great job running this place.
Thank you.
Just need somebody to tell somebody that. And what I just need to get my job done is a contact in the Thieves or Assassins Guild. I'm thinking more assassin-y.
There's no Thieves or Assassins Guild as far as I know. There's just, you know, just the theater.
Why would you say it that way?
What do you mean?
Well, you made this crazy face.
No, I didn't. That was some other person.
I mean, is your theater guild like pretty rough around the edges?
It's the Dornester Theater Company. It's the main business in town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like four industries. There's farming, there's baking, there's milling flour, and there's theater.
Seems weird because it doesn't seem like a real cultural epicenter.
No, but, you know, these freewheeling folk, not necessarily fitting in with society, they wander into Dornester.
Yeah, they travel around, they wear disguises and, I mean, costumes and dress as different shit and go different places.
Yeah, they love crazy clothes and tights and stuff and, you know, they put on shows. It's a great time, you know, there's not a lot of fun out here. And so you go to the theater. It's like, yeah, it's like what we've built. This is our city. We've got a crazy wall.
You've known these theater people, they've always been around?
Yeah.
But they also, like, drift around, like they go to other places and...
Not usually. I mean, there's too many people in town to really know who's here and who's not.
It's a big town.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm outside in my new crazy clothes.
That's probably a good call.
And I walk around and... I mean, I didn't hear this conversation, but let's just say I dressed up in my new flashy theatrical clothing. Is it possible that I would run across the theater guild?
Well, come on. You can't. Spencer, tell him.
Yeah. That's not fair, right?
Come on.
Yeah, that's not fair, right?
What are you even trying to do?
I'm just walking around town checking out what's what.
Yeah, so you're still in kind of the, what do you call it, the open air market sort of situation. You can see like a farmer's storefront that's normally covered in farm goods, and it just says the farmer's tough, and it's just completely abandoned. And there's like a weapons dealer who just has this rolling cart with weapons and stuff. And what else do you got? Oh, there's a bunch of people in weird robes doing exercise. They're doing jumping jacks, and someone's like, jumping jacks will set you free, purify your body, and templify your mind.
I want to do jumping jacks.
Oh, you can.
All right, yeah, Diarrhea, let's go over and check out this action.
Hell yeah.
All right. It's just like you see this robed figure whose face you can't see. They're a short little guy, but they're very animated. And they're like, just 10 more, you jerks. You got to templify your bodies and minds. Create the God inside of yourselves through exercise. And guiding them through all sorts of high-intensity aerobics.
Hey, friendo, it's been a long time since we've really hit the pavement. Can we join you in exercise?
Yeah, templify your bodies today and let your soul be the god of the universe.
How much does it cost?
For free.
Oh,
just
man.
The sweat of your brow.
All right, I jump into that.
All right, you do it.
I like that. Nobody up here is better at role playing than anyone else, but it's just notable to me that Levy learned role playing from Nintendo games. Like, you're just bounding up to people and going, I'll help you collect honey. Would you like a bucket?
It's good. It's fun.
You got to interact with your surroundings.
I'm not punching down because my Scooby-Doo episode to nowhere it's not entertainment.
All I've done so far is buy flashy clothes, and I'm about to do jumping jacks.
I'm not a good leader, and I should not have led. Whoa.
You do 30 or 40 minutes of aerobics.
Oh, yeah.
They want to keep it
Isn't
up.
Isn't this great, Chad? I am feeling so fit.
You unlocked the beehive.
Wait,
you guys are great.
Now what?
You've just been doing jumping jacks and following the exercise routine, as far as I understand.
Yeah.
They've been going. They're going. You're starting to get real tired, and they're not stopping. It's what? Like they're experts.
What? Well, fuck this. I'm going to fucking show them what I got. I'm not stopping until I'll be the last gnome out here.
All right. Do you have endurance?
Wait, are they all gnomes? What race are they?
These aren't all gnomes. These are mostly humans and some elves.
Oh. I have endurance, yes.
Endurance is a skill, otherwise constitution.
Are you guys like a fitness circus? Well, tell me about your...
We're the Church of the Body Temple. We believe that you can become your own god if you treat your body just enough like a temple.
Ooh. All right.
I have a 13 constitution. Where would endurance be?
It's maybe a skill, or I'm thinking about it wrong. It might not be a skill, and I might be thinking about it wrong.
Well, I have a 13 constitution.
All right. You continue to go exercise-wise.
I'm cheering.
Chat. I mean, I have toughness. Does that help?
Toughness is helpful.
Yeah, go Chad. You're the strongest gnome out there. Woo!
All right.
You got this.
You make it a further 40 minutes to the end of the session.
Yeah.
You're almost at the end of your rope, but they finally stop down and they're like, oh yeah, that's it, babies.
Yeah.
Does he win anything? I mean, my gnome friend's amazing, right?
You win. The sweat leaving your body is sin leaving your body.
Yeah, I feel good.
Cows are now available for purchase at the barn.
Do I gain anything for that other than just getting a little fit and some calorie burn?
Yeah, you just burn some calories.
All right, I fucking get right into my fucking water skin and drink some water.
Yeah.
Got to hydrate.
For sure, you got to hydrate. Get those electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
The lead exercise instructor or whatever hands you a bunch of flyers for the Church of the Body Temple, and it says, like, visit our main office in Blade Glen.
Blade Glen.
Yeah, and then it says, like, this is like a side quest. It's not related it's to not, the main event. Not,
it says that on the card.
This flyer doesn't look like a real, like, doesn't really wet my whistle.
If you're looking for an ending, I could find them. I've been wandering around for 40 minutes.
Hey,
for
anything. Hey, Chad.
It's 2 minutes after 10 o'clock.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like I've assuming I ended that conversation with Peaches. Like, and if time went for them, they've been exercising for an hour.
Hey, Carlos.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's Spencer's DMing.
You guys do what you want. It's all good, and
well,
I don't
we
care.
Can't do, we can't just
if
do.
You walk out of wherever you were, I'm in the town square exercising. You might see me there.
Well, he was going to the shops.
If I can retroactively say I made it a point to go find these guys.
Right.
They're dressed like clowns. They're doing aerobics in the town square
and have been over an hour.
So I'm sidling up, and I'm still because I'm a deluded bad leader who is trying to commit to his shitty. I'm like coming up next to them and looking, not making eye contact with them, and spy style, right. And kind of going like, hey. Blessings to you, my brother, from the Church of the Silver Flame.
We're getting so fit, bro.
That's good.
Blessed be the fruit.
This is an interesting town. One might encounter all kinds of characters if one looks around a little bit.
I mean,
we ran into a guild guy. He was a guild gnome. He made us clothing.
All right.
Are you thinking what we're thinking? That next time we do things in this town, shit's gonna get crazy.
And we may as well do them together?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Cliffhanger! We fucking did it.
We did it.
Let's hear it for Steve Levy, everybody.
It's a good episode.
It's a great fucking episode.
Probably one of the best episodes we've ever done.
Probably the best episode we've ever done. Rob Tanchum.
Giraffe rap. I got giraffe facts. I looked up giraffes. What you think about that?
Rob Tanchum, everybody. Let's hear for Zonky Rescue. Our new episode's coming out next week. Spencer Crittenden is our game master. Let's hear for Church and Kevin and Chris and Sarah and Zach and everybody here. Nolan. I'm your comptroller, Jeff Davis. And that is your mayor, Dan Flavored Harmon.
Sorry, the episode was about enlarged clitorises.
This one goes out to Mrs. C. Zach, you got music plays bad on? Giraffe rap. I'm giving giraffe facts. You don't want to know the giraffes wear slacks? Well, I'll put my giraffes in packs and they'll hunt you like wolves like giraffe packs. Yeah, giraffes, they got spots, but they're not spots. They're more like kind of tetrahedral shapes on their butts. And they walk around, but the front legs are longer than their back. And you know why? Because they don't give a shit about peeing in your crack. They'll pee in your mouth, and that's how they know that you want them. And then if you don't want to fuck a giraffe, then you don't got to. Yo, hey, I'm a lady giraffe. Get over here. I'm going to lift up my tail and lift up my rear and pee in your mouth and see how it tastes. And you know what? If you like how it tastes, then come back to my place. I'll fuck you or you fuck me. Look, I'm a giraffe. We're covered in pee. Look, things about giraffes is they fucking get real freaky. I once fucked an alligator, and that shit got leaky because these alligators are made out of holes. Yo, the alligators losing control. I'm a giraffe. Yo, I had the last laugh. You want to fuck with a giraffe? I'll give you a giraffe slap. I slap you with my hoof. I'll get on top of the roof like Santa Claus. Come down the chimney, and I'll fuck you with the wolf from earlier.
Oh, it's a long, long neck from here to reach the leaf that's high. Long, long neck.
Yo. 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 Hey,
more?
Check it out. Look, I'm just a lady giraffe looking for leaves, looking for dudes who's looking for peas. I'm looking for the tallest of trees. That's why my neck's so long. Check out these. These are my tits. Yeah, giraffes got titties. Yeah. But that's not important to a giraffe.
Yeah. And they're non-hierarchical.
My tongue is prehensile. And my tongue is prehensile.
It's
I use your dick
long,
as a utensil.
Long neck from
I said my
here,
tongue as a utensil.
Reaching all
I
those
use your
leaves,
dick as prehensile. Yo, check out the tensile strength
your long
of my
neck.
Tongue. I'm gonna pee on you. That's what giraffes do. I'm not even gonna get into the poo. If I poo on you, you know it's true. True love when the giraffe starts poop. Drive fast and take chances.